Telehealth. I'm Erica Grau.
And I'm Kathy Ford.
Telehealth is having a dramatic impact on the way patient care is being delivered. On our show, we'll examine how telehealth can simplify communication, improve office workflow, and most importantly, drive better patient care. In addition to hearing some great clinical stories about telehealth and practice, we'll talk about where telehealth is today and where it is going, including how the latest regulations are impacting provider operations and reimbursement. You can find podcasts of previous episodes of Talkin' Telehealth on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com and rhinogram.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Talkin' Telehealth and follow us at Rhinogram on Twitter. Welcome back, everyone. Today, we have a very special guest. Kathy and I are joined today by Jennifer Garrison.
Yes, very excited to have Jennifer with us today. Jennifer is the Director of Operations at Charleston ENT and Allergy. Charleston ENT and Allergy, starting back from 1997, their mission has been to serve the people and the families of Charleston, Dorchester, Colleton, and Berkeley counties with superior, comprehensive, and convenient care. Their commitment to these core values has allowed them to expand from 1 to 12 locations and build out a nationally accredited surgical center, the Surgery Center of Charleston, as well as a very state-of-the-art sinus institute. So with all of that, I would love to welcome Jennifer. And Jennifer, maybe let's start off by, love to hear a little bit more about your facility, a little bit more about what you specialize in, your types of patient population, and let's go from there.
I joined the practice 10 years ago as a director of operations. In the last 10 years, we expanded from not just doing ENT with a specialty emphasis in allergy and audiology, but also to include facial plastics. We are partnered with Charleston Plastic Surgery, who have a full body plastic surgeon, the Hair Restoration Center of Charleston, and which is exactly as it sounds, hair restoration. And we have a compounding pharmacy with full pharmacy offerings in our West Ashley location that we're able to bring to all of our outlying offices, as well as the surgery center previously mentioned.
So really not much going on at all there.
It's been a really slow 10 years.
That's incredible, the expansion and just the range of services that your facility is providing the greater area of Charleston. So I would imagine, Jennifer, that with already we in the South here are big sufferers of allergy season, but allergies and symptoms of allergies can often be confused for other things like the flu and the cold and other ailments. So I'm really interested to hear about how your facility has been handling COVID. Since the beginning of these times, I guess, in the spring, the start of allergy season, which now just brings in a whole bunch of more complexity to your world. Tell us about how you've handled it. What did you start to see? What were some of the changes? Call volumes? How are your patients affected? Tell us what you've been experiencing.
Yeah, as you touched on, it was very timely that COVID would hit at the peak of the Southeast allergy season. And that was definitely alarming, both for us and our patients. And not just allergies, but also we see a lot of patients that are pediatric patients for chronic ear infections and tubes and fever, of course, is a symptom of that. And so it was a challenge for us. I think that, we really deferred a lot to DHEC, who kind of manages that information for us. And it was a lot of information and it was a lot to kind of digest. And we really wanted to make sure that we were operating at the very height of consideration for our providers and our patients and our staff, and making sure that they were safe and that we were creating a safe environment. And we made the decision to close all of our locations with the exception of one clinic that we held open in Charleston County, kind of metro area, and then also in Beaufort, where we have three offices. And so each of those had one office with just one provider and a very limited staff, where we would see patients that were emergent in nature, or that we had done surgery on that were still in the process of the post-op care period. You know, it really was a test for us. We had some systems in place, and so and we knew that they had some capabilities. For instance, we purchased a new phone system in January that had mobile capabilities, and we hadn't really gotten to the point where we had rolled that out. And here we were in a position where we really wanted to decentralize our services center, which is our call center and our triage, where we just felt like we had a lot of people in one space. And luckily, we have a really great IT team, and they were able to get everybody set up to remote work from home for those offices that were closed because everything was so unpredictable. We quickly deployed that so that the office managers and some of their select staff could be communicating with patients and rescheduling. We were trying to mass communicate with our patients via email, and you know, this is what we're doing. You know, we're available. We are doing telehealth. We had to, you know, one of our major payers, as payers normally do, like to put up some roadblocks while also advertising ease of access for their patients. So, you know, they're marketing it. This is so easy. You can get all these telehealth and we'll cover it for you. And then on the back end, telling providers that they have to be certified in order to provide these services. And so quickly we kind of, you know, went through the motions of becoming certified telehealth for one of the largest payers. So I really feel like it was a time that our team, you know, you kind of see the strength of your team when you are pressed with challenges. And I was just really impressed with all of the different departments within such a large organization, just kind of all honing in on what exactly needed to be done and doing it to the very best of their abilities in a situation that most of us are unfamiliar with. My husband's worked from home for 15 years. I have not worked from home. And so it was a very big challenge to feel as efficient and as connected and as mobile to, you know, to jump into different areas when you're not physically in the same space with the people you normally work with. So it was a challenge. We're still updating our practices and our workflows. And so I think that I think it's going to be a constant evolution, and hopefully we can continue to partner with people both internally and externally to do it as best as we can.
Yes, I completely agree. So I'm really interested to hear more about this, Jennifer, in light of the times and even kind of from a general understanding, what has been your communication approach with your patients, really both pre-COVID and then now that we're in, I don't know that we're really post-COVID at this stage, but let's just say in current times. I'd love to hear more about how you were and how you are reaching your patients and what sorts of tools are you using?
Yeah, so we have a great marketing director, and she does a really good job with communicating and building our patient base on both Facebook and Instagram, social media, as well as some emails. We do like a newsletter. We do an internal communication with our staff called the Noseletter, which just have to throw that out there because everybody loves it so much. it's really a great it's really a great way to communicate with patients that is engaging. But we went from needing to engage to really needing to communicate. And so, you know, it communicate things such as, please don't, you know, bring more than one person that's not a decision maker to the appointment, things that we felt like were really important, like wearing a mask. And this is, you know, pre-mandating. We just felt like we work in a specialty, as you touched on earlier, that, you know, we have the potential to be seeing a COVID patient without knowing that we're seeing a COVID patient. And we just wanted to operate in a way that we felt like was safest and making sure that our patients knew before they got here what to be expecting. Things like waiting in the car. And so we felt like email was good. It was helpful when you were trying to communicate some mass directives. Obviously, we still had those people that didn't read it and kind of still showed up. And we, as I had said previously, we had purchased a new phone system, and it was supposed to have a texting feature, which we had envisioned kind of using for an on-call solution. with our on-call physician but hadn't really delved into. And we quickly realized that it was very limiting in how it operated. It didn't allow you to kind of tag the person that you were texting and allow you to build a contact list, if you will. And so if you had three patients that you were seeing and you wanted to send them the pre-screening questions while they were waiting in their vehicle, it was hard to keep track of which one of those phone numbers was the actual patient. Ironically, months leading up to COVID, we had had lunch with another practice. And as people who work in operations normally do, we delve through this is what's really great, this is what I'm doing right now. And we were introduced to the RhinoGram platform from a local pediatric practice that had been using it to communicate with their patients, had been using it to follow up with some of their patients. And she had kind of demonstrated the functionality. And during COVID, we quickly realized that this texting platform for a practice of our scale was not going to work for us. And so we implemented RhinoGram on kind of a small scale on a trial basis and began loading our patients and really had a lot of ease of use. And right now we're in the middle of a integration with our PM system, which I think will be great because it'll preload a lot of those demographics and relationships. And I have different people within the practice in other departments that are not in patient visit or front facing who have started to use it to reach out to patients. And so I think that, you know, what kind of comes out of a disaster scenario, if you will, it kind of just breeds ingenuity and, you know, though the circumstances themselves are unfortunate, I think that it's very exciting to be able to leverage the systems that you have in a way that maybe, you know, in our day-to-day, we get distracted from the initiative. And then also to introduce other solutions that solve problems that you're not even really trying to solve on the forefront, but have these other, you know, positive implications for other areas that you're not even considering. And so, you know, for example, we have a hard time with other health insurance. Mm-hmm. So patients get a denied claim and you know, you try to call these patients and they kind of figure it's your problem and you'll figure it out. But I wish we would be happy to, but we also need you to give us the information so we can solve it. And so what we found is that texting is so much more effective because it's there, it's in front of them. It's not a phone call. They don't have to worry about calling us back. You know, they can send a picture of their insurance card. They don't have to even bother, you know, typing in the numbers. And so, you know, we have this solution for this problem that's always kind of been nagging while also being able to maintain our effective in clinical standards as far as screening patients before they come in, making sure that they know that if they do, you know, their answer is yes, that we can then call them and you know, and just that communication, I think, has been great for us.
So I love that you've been able, that you found RhinoGram as the ideal solution to be able to support all of that administrative, you know, set of activities, which of course are really important, and even the logistics part of it as far as, you know, what they need to remember before they come in and, you know, how they need to get ready to be seen. But then also, as you talked about, I think people do forget about this, that some of the post-procedure follow-up and, you know, some of the administrative or billing, you know, financial kind of loose ends that also ends up adding a lot of cycles if you don't have an effective way to keep that patient connection. I'm curious if you have gotten any feedback from your patients about this ability that they've been introduced to over this period of time around being able to have bi-directional texting conversations with the practice.
We have had some great feedback. You know, there's always a couple of people that say, you know, I don't know why you didn't just call me. And there will be people on all sides. But most people find it to be very convenient. They find it to be so convenient. In fact, we've asked them the screening questions and they've answered them from their couch because they also answer those screening questions and then followed up with, and I need to reschedule my appointment. I'm not in your parking lot. So it's obviously very easy for them to use. It's easier than calling and canceling. We also have had, you know, our department for referral management, which means we get a referral in, and then we're going to contact the patient and try to schedule. We even started to attempt contact with patients on that using Rhinogram for that, and it's been very well received because at times I think that we call people who know to be expecting our call, but they're also working, and so it's hard to have that communication in the middle of the day. And I realize, you know, I'm a parent, I have three kids, and so it's very hard for me to manage, you know, their lives while also managing my work day. And so I think it's an ease of conversation. There's no pressure to do it right that moment. They can text back and say, you know, I'd like an appointment on Tuesday at 3 p.m. if you have one in your North Charleston office, and we can go ahead and do that work while they're able to continue to do what they're doing. And so we've gotten a lot of positive feedback from patients in those areas as well.
That makes a lot of sense. It's all about convenience these days, especially as we're all having to juggle sort of a different way of going about the things we need to get done. I guess the other side of the coin is I am interested to hear what kind of feedback and maybe changes have been a result of this approach with your staff. Everything we heard a little bit about your billing group as far as, you know, going after some changes that maybe things that needed to be followed up on, but curious to hear if there has been any other kind of byproduct, let's just say, of using a platform like this with your team.
I think at first, you know, they're very hesitant. Most of us are when we are faced with a new system. But I also think probably even more so because everything was so different. You know, all of a sudden we're not just checking patients in and out, but we're also kind of bouncers at the door, making sure that they're, you know, don't have a fever and that they're wearing their mask. And so, you know, it just kind of probably felt like one more thing for them. But as they've gotten familiar with using it, you know, we've kind of fine-tuned our processes. It's no longer our front desk with sending the screening question out, you know, the screening questionnaires out. It's the MAs when they're ready for and then they're communicating when they're ready for the patient. And so I think that we've kind of evolved our process for how we use it and made it more effective for our staff at the appropriate touch points. And so I think that now, I know that they're all definitely looking forward to the integration where they don't have to enter in any of the patient information. Yes. But I think it's, you know, once you realize that it's really only three things, you can kind of tab through really quickly. Everybody appreciated it. And the other side is that I think that our staff appreciated the fact that we were attempting what we were attempting to do, which was to make sure that we were maintaining the safest possible place for them, as well as our providers and our patients. They're really committed to that. And so it was a lot of change, but I think that they, you know, they're very vested in making sure that we maintain our commitment to taking care of people.
That's such an important point, is that in looking at solutions out there in the market, you know, it's not just, you know, the physician that, you know, has to figure out how to engage with a patient, but it really is the whole care team. And their safety is, of course, is just as important as patient safety too. And so something, you know, that gives them more flexibility and the ability to talk with each other as well on the platform, I think is great to hear. Kind of following along those lines, for those that are possibly listening to this that have not yet gone down a road and picked a solution to figure out how to stay virtually connected with their patients and with their staff, and maybe certainly thinking about the fall is coming, which we know is certainly flu season at a minimum, but with what we're seeing numbers-wise on the COVID side, we're likely going to kind of stay at this heightened level of cases and sickness and such. So I would love to hear what you would recommend your industry colleagues think about as they're looking at solutions and thinking about what they may need. You know, maybe some of your thoughts around that.
Sure. I think that one of the most important things that we learned is that there are solutions for communicating with patients at all levels and making sure that you have all of those at your disposal. email is a great tool for communicating en masse and general information. It, you know, whether or not you're doing allergy shots, and if you are, what those patients can expect, and kind of your policies for the visit, and your hours. And I think that that's a great tool. I think the social media is another great tool to kind of communicate en masse information. But as we kind of move through and your situation changes and your ability to see patients either on site or virtually, you have to have some other tools at your disposal to communicate with that patient directly, you know, on an individual encounter level. And that's what we kind of what we found with RhinoGram is it's an ability to communicate with patients, not via telephone, but that we could communicate with them at their convenience. It allowed us to maintain multiple conversations at the same time. You know, there has been several instances where we've had a lot of staff out, both caring for family members, childcare issues. And the difference between texting and phone communication is that it allows you to be able to handle multiple communications at the same time. And so you can have one person having six different conversations, and those six different conversations are not impeding one another, and they're not competing. And so you're able to better maximize your resources, especially right now when resources have the potential to be so limited, and it doesn't affect the patient care. The patient doesn't know that you're also texting with another person in the 10 minutes it took them to answer your question. You know, having telehealth, having a virtual visit ability to communicate with patients is extremely helpful. And I think that it takes time to position yourself to be able to have the full benefit of these services. You know, for me, I know that, you know, I'm in the middle of an integration with my PM system in RhinoGram, and these things take time. You know, vendors are suffering from the same challenges that we are. And so I think that to start thinking about your solutions, thinking about kind of where you have some gaps and working on them now before you have a situation where you need them, because you're going to be competing with all of the other people that didn't plan, now's the best time to start looking at that.
So true. Well, this has been incredibly informative, and of course, we love how innovative and forward-thinking you and your team are, and you've been such a great partner, and looking forward to rolling out video to your facility as well in the future, and lots of other new features that we'll build and bring on to your facility. I know that, as you said, resources are limited and time is super valuable. So I just want to say thank you very much, Jennifer, for spending a couple minutes with us and telling us how you've handled COVID, how your team has moved through these difficult times and still delivered really superb care to your patient population, and also changed the game some with how they can stay connected with you and you with them. And so fantastic to hear from you, and stay safe and stay healthy.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
Wow. What a great conversation that was with Jennifer. I love what they're doing over there at Charleston ENT and Allergy. They really have a good plan as far as a better way to communicate with their patients. They're thinking out of the box. Obviously, their patients are loving it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do next, especially as they roll in video as the next phase of their plan. Speaking of video, we definitely couldn't leave you without a little sneak peek about what next month's episode of Talkin' Telehealth is and what we have in store. So we are going to talk about video in depth. We're going to dig deep into this world of video as it relates to telehealth and teleconsults using video. I can tell you that I have heard many myths and certainly a lot of different views about the different options that are in the market. So we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about what people are using today, what to know based on the different options, our tips for a successful deployment, which includes a great experience for your patient and for your providers that are delivering this type of care by way of video, and how you can best incorporate it into your workflow.
Awesome. That's going to be a great topic. What a hot topic that's happening right now. I'm hearing a lot of questions about what people can use and what they should use. And honestly, it's all over the map. So I can't wait to cover this episode. No one should miss this next episode. To all of our listeners, thank you again for joining us.
And as always, stay safe and stay healthy out there. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on Talkin' Telehealth, recorded at Rhinogram headquarters in beautiful Chattanooga, Tennessee. You can learn more about Talkin' Telehealth on the show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com or rhinogram.com. Find us on iTunes under Healthcare Now Radio, or tune in Monday through Friday and listen through your smart speaker by asking, play Healthcare Now Radio. And be sure to connect with Rhinogram on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, if it's in the world of telehealth, we're talking about it.